two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. KSL News Time is now 5 o'clock. It's Thursday, the 10th day of September. This is Utah's Morning News. I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon. Right now, downtown, 55 degrees.
I'm just waiting on some construction from overnight to wrap up on the freeways. I'm Andy Farnsworth.
Our top story this hour, thousands of people still without power as the cleanup continues from Tuesday's windstorm.
We're also learning more about a truck driver who was killed. KSL News Radio's Mark Jackson begins our team coverage.
Salt Lake City Police spokesperson Danielle Croy says 61-year-old Donald Hardy had finished offloading his trailer and was standing beside the rig when the wind whipped up in the area of 2858 South 300 West around 8:21 a.m. She says the door flew open, hitting him in the face, knocking him to the ground.
He sustained a critical traumatic head injury.
He was pronounced dead at the hospital. His wife, Alyssa Joy Hardy, says she and her husband sold everything they owned to become truck drivers and believes the tragedy could have been prevented with proper warning. She says someone dropped the ball. Mark Jackson, KSL News Radio.
One of the hardest hit areas the storm was Rose Park on Salt Lake City's west side. KSL TV's Andrew Adams reports the cleanup there could still take days.
City crews are going to be extremely busy here in the near future. The mayor's office says that it will announce bulk green waste collection times and schedules sometime in the coming days. And for people who have a hard time moving the waste out of their yards, they say that they're partnering with United Waste 211 to connect those people with volunteers.
This morning, Rocky Mountain Power reports a little more than 66,000 outages, mostly between Ogden and South Salt Lake.
Most of the schools that were closed because of the storm will be open this morning. That includes the entire Salt Lake City School District. Most of the Weber School District is open, and only two schools are closed in Ogden today, Highland Junior High and Mount Ogden Junior High.
An arson investigation continues in downtown Salt Lake. Josh Wallace lives near 2nd West and 9th South and is worried that an arsonist is targeting his neighborhood.
The whole neighborhood, we like to feel like we're secure, and if someone's out there lighting fires, it's a little scary for sure.
A two-alarm fire at the cleaner building late yesterday morning was at least the third fire now in that area.
The mother of a 13-year-old boy who was shot by police wants to know why her son wasn't tackled. KSL News Radio's John Wojcik joins us live with a story. John?
Yeah, Amanda, and Salt Lake police are confirming that when they shot a 13-year-old boy with autism during that mental episode last week, that it was just hours before a new policy took effect requiring officers to try de-escalation first. Now, specifically, that policy was drafted with the city in order to address concerns regarding the use of deadly force. The new policy was set to start Saturday. That's roughly 2 hours after the shooting took place Friday night. The policy specifically states, quote, de-escalation tactics are no longer suggested or preferred. They're mandatory prior to using force to effect an arrest unless it would be unreasonable to do so. Now, since the shooting, police have said that there was no indication that a weapon was recovered from the boy at the scene. Live, John Wojcik, KSL News Radio.
KSL weather now with Grant Wayman. Showers aren't in the forecast for the rest of the week.
The weather is going to cooperate for getting outside today. The winds have calmed and our temperatures climb up to the high 60s to around 70 today. Tomorrow, upper 70s to near 80, and then we climb into the 80s for the upcoming weekend. Seasonal weather is the average highs in the middle 80s, so nice weather ahead for Saturday and for Sunday.
Next week, we're going to see temperatures in the high 80s.
It seems the entire West is on fire. KSL's top national stories this hour with Sean Michael Lyle live at the KSL National News Desk.
That's right, Amanda. More than 200 wildfires burning across the West. The Marion County Sheriff in Oregon says a boy and grandmother died trying to escape the flames.
We also fear that this is not going to be the only folks that we find deceased up there.
Seven deaths now blamed on the fires when a dozen more are missing. In the San Francisco Bay Area yesterday, smoke turned the sky to a surreal orange. This photographer telling KGO.
It's really sad that it's the condition the way it is, but it makes for some really dramatic pictures for sure.
Tens of thousands evacuated along the West Coast. Hundreds of homes have burned. Well, the U.S. Senate set to vote on a trimmed-down stimulus bill today with little chance of passage. Senate leader Mitch McConnell calling it a narrowly focused bill.
It's targeted at kids back in school, jobs, and health care.
Democrats are opposed, wanting three times the spending as Republicans plan. And a new book by Bob Woodward of The Washington Post reveals President Trump downplaying the pandemic early on, despite knowing the danger, from tapes of Woodward's interview with the president.
I wanted to always play it down. I still like playing it down.
Yes, sir.
Because I don't want to create a panic.
The president stood by the remarks at the White House yesterday. The book is called Rage. Live at the KSL National News Desk, Sean Michael Lyle, KSL News Radio.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.